Here's what happened this morning with Stacey and Clayton.
Do you know the backstory to Chuck E. Cheese?
I also learned the same thing you did. Go ahead, though.
Because
share it.
It's like the darkest thing I've ever read in my entire life. When I think of Chuck E. Cheese, I think of happiness. I think of games. I think of pizza. Good things pop in my head. I am on the Chuck E. Cheese website. This is not some fake website or some fake April Fool's joke or something like that. Chuck E. Cheese was an orphan who did not know when his birthday was, but he loved birthdays.
The little mouse guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So to celebrate birthdays, he opened up Chuck E. Cheese so he could celebrate everyone else's birthday. Is that not the saddest thing in the world?
It's a little sad,
like,
yeah.
I know we don't have a Chuck E. Cheese here in Saskatoon, but there is one in Regina. And I remember going there, and I remember seeing Chuck E. Cheese, the mouse. He was so happy all the time. But really, he's super sad on the inside.
He's broken. He's a broken mouse.
I had no idea, and it just broke my heart. I was like, man, Chucky, like, if you need to talk or something, man, like, give me a call or something. Like, I just felt so bad. I had no idea that he had a backstory, and it's the saddest backstory.
You realize, though, it's not a real story.
What?
Basically, I have determined that I am officially hammed out for 2018. It happened.
You crushed some ham last night?
To all weekend. Too many. Two ham dinners. Well, one ham dinner, one ham lunch.
Mm.
And then two subsequent meals afterwards. I am done with ham.
Are you a big fan of ham?
Not exactly. It's tasty at the time.
Yeah.
And then you end up eating like a ham sandwich later or the next day. And then you're like, you know what? I think I'm good.
Just throwing this out there. Ham might be the most overrated food on the planet.
I might agree with
you. Ham isn't that good. It's like mac and cheese, you know, like a big gooey pot of mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Not Kraft dinner, but like homemade mac and cheese. The
yes.
First four bites, you're like, awesome. And then after that, you're like, this isn't that good. My goodness. Are you really eating ham and tea for breakfast, by the way, Cooper?
Ham, mustard, and tea.
Oh, yeah. It smells great in here. Nothing like waking up to the smell of microwaved ham.
Oh, but I didn't even microwave it. It's just cold.
It's just that smelly.
I said I was hammed out, but I have to finish it. I can't throw it away.
It's just... Ugh.
The sun is out. We're feeling great. I'm having ham and mustard at 7:50 in the morning. It is a beautiful day.
Living the dream, Stacey.
I really am
living
the dream.
Living the dream. Ugh. Gross.
Yeah.
Stop bragging about your ham.
Are you a naked household? And when do you stop being naked in front of your kids? That's kind of like a two-part situation here. But basically, you're either, I think, in a naked household or you weren't. Our household, not a naked household.
No.
Everything was always behind doors, covered up, and that was just how it was.
You grew up in a Mennonite household, so yeah.
But my other cousins on the Mennonite side of things, total opposite.
The rebel Mennonites.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
So it does come down to, and that's what they say, is a lot of times it's just personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't care for it, not a problem. Some people are totally fine with it. Some people say it even promotes a healthy body image.
Yeah.
As a woman, maybe let's say if you're walking around without clothes in front of your kids, you know, you want them to see that you're proud of your body. You don't need to hide it.
Global actually did a story on this, and I was looking at the comments, and it's so weird how different some comments are. Some people are like, never. And other people are like, probably until around age 10. It's like,
so
wow,
opposite.
Totally different ends of the spectrum there. My household, personally, no, we were not really a naked family. My parents, though, were robe people.
Okay.
My parents loved robes. The thing is, they never tied their robes. Like, the robes had a belt. Those belts were never done.
They were never secure enough.
Never, because whenever they were like, you know, like making breakfast or something like that, like dad's making eggs and then he turns around to get some milk, it would just like open up like a show's about to begin or something.
Oh, geez.
It turns out that concerts, good for your health. The music venue O2. In England, obviously, like the O2.
O2 Arena.
Yeah,
yes.
The O2 Arena. They have like their own little research team, and they did this study.
Wow.
I know, another study done, Stacey. It's amazing. Apparently, going to a concert for just 20 minutes can lead to a 21% increase in a feeling of well-being. And to give you some perspective there, yoga increases your well-being by 10%, dog walking, 7%. So
interesting.
If you're sitting there thinking, oh, yoga's the key to happiness, no, rock shows are the key to happiness. Boom, there you go, roasted. My question is, though, what about bad concerts?
That's probably bad for your health.
Would they be bad for your health? Because like, I'm talking about like grade six elementary band concerts that you have to go to if you're a parent. They're playing Hot Cross Buns and just butchering it so bad. Are those good for your health?
I'm going to say, you know what? Stress levels probably go up. Maybe the heart rate goes up a little bit. I can't see that being good for your health. I do have a suggestion, though, or a question, I guess. If concerts are good for your health, can you get a prescription from your doctor for a concert and get it paid for with your health card?
That's a very good point.
It seems like you could. If it's good for you, if I'm going to feel and like lead a better life by going to a concert, prescribe it to me and I'll get it covered with my benefits.